Good evening, everybody. Good to extend a welcome to you as well. Let me say this boldly. Happy Valentine's Day and happy Ash Wednesday. And I don't recall ever putting those two together before, but I'm glad to do that because we don't think those expressions landing on the same day make a lot of sense, but they really do. It's actually very perfect because Valentine's Day is about communicating love to those that you care most about, to your kids or to your friends or to a spouse or to your parents, whatever the case might be. And I just have to throw in on that whole deal that I did okay today. I offered up Carrie some, you know, eggs and Canadian bacon and asparagus and English muffin, and it was really a feast in bed with coffee this morning and flowers. Let me just say, it's not always that way, but I did okay today. I did okay today. So it's good that's the kind of love we want to give to each other, right? But it's what we receive. It all begins with the receiving side of it. And this evening, I get to receive ashes, and so do you. And you are being reminded of an incredible love that has been poured out for your soul, unlike any other love that you could ever know. And so we get to be mindful tonight and in the Lenten season of God's love for us. And our theme over the Lenten weeks is about identity. And we'll be focusing on the 40 days of Jesus and his temptation. Tonight, I'm going to primarily introduce why we are all about Lent. Why do we even do it? But Jesus enters into those 40 days of temptation before he launches his ministry to do what God wanted him to do. And he needed that time just to center and get ready for all that was before him. And it's a practice that we're going to emulate in these weeks that are still ahead. A friend of mine said recently, I'd never come to our Lenten services here at Westwood. I go, well, why not? He goes, I just don't know why we do it. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to recalibrate. So tonight's message really is, why do we do this thing called Lent? You know, we often ask the question, what do I want to do with my life? But the question of Lent is something different. It's, what is God wishing to do in my life? Now, that's a different question. You have to pause. And to think about, God, what are you wanting to do with my life, is what Jesus set out before him and what he wants us to do in this given season. That Lent is about preparing yourself for something that God wants to do in you. It's about making your life available, being willing to say, God, speak to me so I can be who you want me to be and do what you want me to do and go where you want me to go. That's the call of the whole deal. Lent is a season of repentance, and repentance in the Greek, that word means, or is metanoō, and it means simply an inner change of the heart, an inner change of the heart. And in Hebrew, the word is a beautiful word. It's called teshuvah, which means to return home. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's to return home. That repentance is about reorientating our hearts toward home, which is God himself. That home is where God is. So it's not 1806 Valley Ridge Trail North, our personal address. It's wherever God is. It's orientating my heart towards God in that given place. And more than likely, this past year, you've had some dings to your identity. That you've participated in things, or your life got so full, or you just kind of lost the core of your identity with who God is. So this discipline or this practice that is called Lent is a time to recalibrate that and to come home to God, to renew our identity and to be reminded that we are safe in the hands of our Father, that we rest in his mighty right hand and we're vulnerable in the world that we live outside of his mighty right hand. The practice of getting ready for Holy Week and Easter through some kind of Lenten preparation actually goes back to the very early Christian church. There's one of the church leaders called Irenaeus. I got a photo of him, and you got to pause because, man, he's got the best beard in the world. Because right now we live in a time and place where beards and facial hair is really cool to be in, and you know, and I'm thinking about it myself, but some of you just have amazing beards, but you don't have anything like Irenaeus has right there. That thing is gorgeous. And this guy was an amazing church leader. Listen, he lived in the second century. And he spoke about fasting as a preparation for Holy Week, referring back to the Holy Fathers. In other words, most historians believe he was referring back to the apostles. And so Irenaeus is claiming that all the way back to the time of the apostles, there was some kind of spiritual preparation for the celebration of Holy Week and Easter when the early church often held baptism. It's still a tradition in many churches to have baptisms on Easter Sunday. It's a practice we've never had at Westwood until this year. And if you were here this last Sunday, I gave an invitation for anyone who would like to receive Jesus as Lord and surrender your life to him to make your way forward. Not a common practice at Westwood, but nearly 60 people came down. And 60 people are going to be baptized on Easter Sunday evening. So we celebrate that. That was the spirit of preparation, that Jesus is Lord. I want to offer my life fully unto him. So we're going to have a Vesper service at 7 p.m. So I hope some of you will want to come and join in on that. And by the way, if you want to be baptized, you haven't been baptized as a declaration that Jesus is the Lord of your life. We have cards that are at the ledges in the room. And when you come up for ashes at the end of the service, you're welcome to fill out one of those cards. We'll be glad to get back in touch with you and celebrate baptism with you as well. And we know the number 40, that we're 40 days away from spring, which, by the way, Lent comes from a Latin word that means length of days get longer. And we are 40 days away from spring, yay, and we're 40 days away about from Easter. And there's this preparation. I love the fact that it's not just an hour. It's not just a week, you know. Take some time to really center our lives. And the number 40 has tremendous spiritual significance in the Bible in terms of preparing oneself for something that God wants to do in your life. We find it when Moses was preparing himself to receive the Ten Commandments, and he's 40 days, 40 nights on that mountain, ready to write down the covenant, the Ten Commandments that we know. Elijah was 40 days and 40 nights in order to offer himself to say, God, what do you want for me in my life? Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert before he began his ministry. So our Lent series will focus on the life of Jesus as we move toward Holy Week. So there's this precedence in both history and as well church history for this 40-day period of preparation for something that God wishes to do in our lives. So I suppose this evening the question is, do you offer yourself for God to do something in your life? That's what you're being invited to do. To stop thinking about what should I do with my life and say, God, what is it you wish to do in my life? And I want to open up my life for you to speak to me, to lead me, to guide me in these 40 days. So Lent begins with Ash Wednesday today, and the ashes that a person is marked with really communicate two things, ashes and dust. And the dust reminds us that we are mortal, that we are finite people, that we die. The text in Scripture says, remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. In other words, this day of 40 days before us, before Holy Week, is just good to remember that we're not around forever. We're going to die. And some of you that are here right now may not be here next year at the same time. We don't know that. We aren't promised tomorrow. And we come to be mindful of our own mortality to that end. And the ash reminds us that we're sinful people. Ash in the Bible is always a symbol of repentance. So people would clothe themselves with sackcloth, and sackcloth was just a black garment, and they would put ashes on their face as a sign of mourning and repentance. It's a proclamation that we know we need God's mercy, that we're sinful people, that we pull away from God all the time when he wants us to draw close to him. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 says it this way: it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Now, we don't think so, but for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. It's let your days count is what the text is saying. And these 40 days are a humbling time of being mindful of our lives, that they should count. Make them count. Make them be purposeful in the journey. Because we don't have all the time in the world to make relationships the way we want them to be or to communicate people how much we love them. We say, I'll get to it eventually. Or to make right a broken relationship. We think, man, I'm just so bitter or angry. I'll get to it someday, but right now I'm not in the mood to do it. But we just aren't offered up all of those days. Let your days count and use them well. Try to live in right relationship with God and with each other. And we don't have all the time in the world to fritter away hours watching too much TV or meaningless entertainment. I think one of the distinctions of living in America is the challenge of options. The difference between Bangladesh and the United States of America is options. And when I travel to do mission work, I'm amazed how many times we gather in the course of the week. Almost every night of the week, we're gathering together to worship God because that's their primary option. It's the best option. And sometimes we default out of the option of being together as the Church of Jesus Christ for all the options of entertainment and recreation that are, man, we just can't get enough of it. But then we can drown in it and miss the reality of what's most important in our journey. And it's just really good to think about and meditate on our mortality. It's also good to think about our sinfulness, not a pleasant thing to think about, but it reminds us of how desperately we need our Savior and how much we need to be at home with God. Repentance is coming home. When you walk down the aisle in a few short moments, you'll be saying, I want to come home, because your identity's been dinged over the course of the year and probably could use some centering around these two big things. It's also good to think about our sinfulness. So why do we celebrate Lent? Well, from my reading of church history, it appears to me that the celebration of Lent really concerns five different things, just briefly. The first is that Lent is about recognizing our need for God's presence. Do you sense the presence of God in your life right now? And if you do, it's good. And if you don't, because we don't always feel that, and part of that coming together for these 40 days is to get in touch with the presence of the Lord. It's really humbling when we're not. In fact, in Exodus, man, pretty strong words. Look what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and your people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you. This is God. But I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. You thought your parents were stern? I mean, God just gets in their face about this. This is what he's saying to the children of Israel. I've been watching you worship the golden calf that you've made. And you've given your affection to that stupid calf. And I'm taking that to mean that as my people, you're communicating to me that you don't really want to have a relationship with me, that golden calf is more important than me. So, okay, you can have the relationship with the golden calf. And by the way, because I'm a good God, I'm still going to give you the land that I promised you. And I'm still going to let you have blessings in your life. But the one thing you won't have is me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having all the blessings of God, all the things that you think would be so great in life, but not having God in your life in the middle of it? What a heart-rending scene this is. It's a powerful reminder. You're going to live without my presence, he's saying. I think about this in light of churches. Churches can go for years without experiencing the presence of God. I mean, when we learn that 80% of churches are plateaued or declining, I got to go, how can that be? If the presence of God is in our midst, we should not be plateaued or declining. We should be reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ, enjoying his very presence and goodness in our life and our journey. We can experience God's blessings with bigger buildings and better finances and more people, and we can have great popularity and dynamic classes and even great activities, and yet be completely separated from the presence of God. Or think about it individually for each of us. On an individual level, I'm talking about a quest for more of God. I'm not asking questions like, do you believe the right thing? Are you reading your Bible? Are you coming to church every week? Are you a moral person? And all of a sudden, we start to find our identity in those expressions, but he wants us to find our identity in his presence in our lives, that everything flows out of that good presence of God in our personal journey. So the question Lent asks is, how real is your present experience with God? Am I personally connected? I think Lent starts with that recognition. So if I just give you a moment and I'll give you silence in just a short while, you could probably ask yourself that question. Right now, am I connected to God? Do I sense the presence of the Lord in my life? And you're going to offer yourself, say, oh, Lord, I want to know your presence. That's what you're going to do in a few moments. Let's start with this recognition that I'm apart from God. And I can enjoy the blessings of God that are from him. I can even enjoy success, but I no longer have God, and I want God. And Lent makes space for me to remember that I need the presence of God in my life, not just the blessings of God in my life. And we are blessed people, by and large, by the way. What is God wishing to do in my life? That's the question. Number two, Lent is about spiritual spring cleaning. Using a little analogy here of a cell phone, my daughter and I were out navigating and she had her Google Maps on and it wasn't working. And she was so irritated by it. I said, shut your phone off and reboot it. Because sometimes your phone gets cluttered over time. Because you've gone to so many places, you've done so many things, your phone can't think clearly and be all that it's supposed to be. So shut this thinking thing off. See if we can get this thing going. She did, and it worked. That's what Lent is. You're rebooting. You're saying, I want to cleanse some of these things out. In fact, in Exodus 33 again, we see it stated this way. Amazing. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. There he is again. And he says, if I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. There he goes again. Now take off your ornaments and I will decide what to do with you. Wow. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now they're looking for mercy. Now they're looking for that experience from God. See, there's mourning and grief that takes place when you recognize the reality of your own spiritual condition, how far you've drifted away from God. In an Orthodox Jewish family, when a loved one dies or there's sin, people tear their clothes as a sign of mourning. But did you see what happened here? If you read the fuller text, you'd see the piece with the tearing of clothes. But it's interesting in this story that the people not only tear their clothes, but they take off all of the ornaments, which is a reflection of their jewelry. They take down all their jewelry. Why do they take off all their jewelry? Because it's the jewelry that was used to make the golden calf. It was being mindful of the idols that you have in your life that are just so much part of what you're doing every day. You're not even mindful that you're giving your best to things or to this golden calf and not to me. Once we engage in this personal self-examination, we see a lot of clutter in our lives. We see a lot of places over time where we've accumulated things and we've accumulated judgments against people. We've accumulated bitterness because things didn't go the way I wanted them to go. We've accumulated habits of entertaining ourselves to death that we forget who God is in it. These things really contribute to our overall spiritual health. It's generally junk food and junk habits and all kinds of junk thoughts that keep us from being in right relationship with the living God. So Lent gives us the opportunity to do some spiritual spring cleaning, to remove some things over these 40 days, just to let some things go along the way and let it be a cleansing experience. So what activities or practices or relationships are getting in the way of you living in the presence of the living God? It's to give us that space and time to think about them and to remove those things. The children of Israel stripped themselves of jewelry to get rid of the sin that kept them from knowing God and put God in a place where he says, I'm not going with you. And they say, no, please come with us. It's not come with us with all of our stuff. No, come with us. We want your presence there. Third, Lent is about fasting, which complements that second one. That fasting is not about punishing yourself or trying to earn God's favor through some kind of thing you're going to sacrifice in these 40 days or some kind of rigorous ascetic practice that has been part of the church in the past. What is fasting all about? Well, Lynn Babb, in her book, Fasting Spiritual Freedom Beyond Our Appetites, provides this simple definition that Christian fasting is the voluntary denial of something for a specific period of time for a spiritual purpose. We don't just abstain or fast from things, just abstain or fast from things or say, hey, look at the sacrifice I make. It's creating space for spiritual purpose for God to meet us. She's saying that Christian fasting is about creating that space for God. And you can create that space by maybe abstaining from food. You might choose not to eat for a day a week or to pass over breakfast or lunch, whatever the case might be. Don't be legalistic around it. But it's during that time when you normally would eat breakfast or lunch, you say, I'm not going to do that because when I get those hunger pains, I'm looking to satisfy it not with food on earth, but food from the Spirit of God. And I invite that spirit in. There are other kinds of fast that you could have during Lent as well. It may not be food. I just put a list of these things together that might be of interest to you and take a look at it. And you might be thinking to some of them, no way, no way, no way. Okay, that one might be good for me. Just whatever it is, choose one of them. I think this binging from Netflix, man, everybody I talk to is binging on Netflix over something. Have you seen this, Joel? Have you seen that? I go, how do you have time to binge on all that stuff? I have no idea. I think I'm just going to suggest binge from Netflix for 1 month. See how it goes for you. None of these things are bad in and of themselves, but we can fast from certain things in order to create more space for God in our lives. And when we break these specific habits, or meals that we don't eat, or watching television, it signals to our lives that our life doesn't consist of those things. That's not what makes it joyful. And we find the Lord Jesus, oh, he meets us with his love. There's just nothing better than God's love. Nothing. I'm going to pour out my life for God's love in every way. It fills every empty hole that you have in your soul. It may take some time, but he fills that up. That's the gift of God. Number four, Lent is about putting something positive in place of the negative. So one of the positive things we put in place of the negative, of course, is more time with God. But it could also be that we're choosing during this season to add to our life some activities that typically are not part of our activities. It might be a fellowship. You might want to join a small group here over the next 40 days and connect with people in a group setting that would be stimulating for your faith. It might be serving because, you know, Jesus comes to us through the poor, and he said, I came to serve, not to be served. So you might want to connect with Love, Inc. or a charitable organization and offer time and service to them for a half day a week. You might choose to bless. Carrie and I had a brief discussion about what we would like to do. We made a decision once a week, if probably maybe more than that, but once a week we're going to intentionally find someone that we're going to bless anonymously in some kind of way. We're going to add that positive reflection to say, God, you've been so generous to us and kind to us. We want to give that blessing to others. It's about putting something positive in place of the negative. And Lent then involves our need for God's presence. It involves spiritual cleansing and fasting. It involves putting something positive into our lives. But ultimately, it's about wanting more of God. That's the fifth. Lent involves preparing ourselves for Holy Week, his entrance into Jerusalem, his suffering and death on Calvary's cross, and of course, his rising from the dead to give us the reminder that all life comes from him. And so as a church community, we want to walk together in the season of Lent to prepare ourselves for Holy Week. In a few moments, I'm just going to invite you to come home. Come home. Because your identity has probably been dinged along the way this year. And give yourself permission in these 40 days to make space for God to meet you and to love you, to heal you, to be with you, so that you might discern what he has for you. And when God gives from his resources, it's always good. It's always good. After I pray, we're going to stand. The pastors and leaders, in fact, I'm just going to ask the pastors and leaders if they could kind, while you're seated, make their way to the center. And I'm going to put ash on them. They'll receive ash. And then I'm going to invite you to stand, and you'll make your way down. And as you do, just do so being mindful that you're coming home, remembering that you're mortal, that your days are numbered. So let them count. Remembering that you're sinful and God's mercy meets you so that you could today and every day know that God is with you and that his love is forever. So I'm going to invite the pastors and the leaders to make their way to the front, and I'll invite you to stand in a moment after I pray, but actually I'm going to pray first and then I'll make my way down an ash on the front. So just join me in brief prayer. Just take a moment of silence, if you would, first, and ask the Lord, what is it you want to do within me? And then just take a moment and ask the Lord if there's anything that comes to mind in terms of what these 40 days might look like for you in light of what you've learned. Father God, thank you for your patience with us. We're so easily distracted and drawn away from your presence. And on this eve, as we gather, we want to take some steps, one foot in front of the other, to say we want to come home into the safety of your arms. Almighty God, our Father, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and repentance, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let the sign of the cross that we make on the foreheads of those who come in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bring encouragement and healing to us and remind us that you are the God who is always faithful to you. And as we come home, may we be faithful to you as you have been to us. We ask in Jesus' name.